Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Lincoln 102. Responding 241 Parking Circuit, Section 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us on this Monday, the 29th of May, 2012. Wow. That means just two more days. And we'll be into the month of June already, almost at the halfway point of this year. Hope you all have had a great Memorial Day weekend, a big three-day weekend. I know in this industry, many people had to work. Many people didn't have the luxury of laying out at the beach or grilling out with family and friends, but many of us, including myself, actually had to work. And I spent quite a bit of time in the office this weekend. And so I know exactly how you feel. It's time for a break, time for a day off. But for those of you who worked this weekend, well, yeah, you owe it to yourself to take a little time off later this week and just relax and enjoy yourself. And, of course, we want to just salute all of the men and women serving in the armed forces today and all of those who have served in the years past. All right, we want to get on with our show tonight. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. My name is Rick McCann, and we are very glad to be on the air live with you tonight, broadcasting from Studio A in Charlotte, North Carolina. Glad that you have joined us. Tonight, we're going to be talking in just a little while about how to articulate a use of force incident. This really is something that is overlooked time and time again in law enforcement and in private security. Most private security officers and law enforcement and public safety, hey, we just are not report writers. We're not storytellers. We're not good authors. We barely can put a sentence together when it comes to putting it down on paper, for the most part. But unfortunately, while our chicken scratch often passes for a report, when you have a use of force incident, it is imperative that we structure our sentences correctly, that we get the details out there vividly, that we communicate effectively and get our position, our message across correctly, so that those in power, those who are in a position of deciding whether or not we use too much force, understands clearly that there was a necessity for the level of force used. And so tonight we're going to be talking in a two-part series about how to articulate the use of force, how to express it. Because if you fail to do so, well, you're going to probably wind up in a whole lot of trouble. We'll be getting back to that shortly. Now, this weekend was a very active and busy weekend for private security as well as law enforcement, as I predicted that it would be. I knew that the weather was going to be quite nice in many areas, especially in the southeast, and I knew that many people have been cooped up, suffering from cabin fever, and there'd be a whole lot of craziness out there. Unfortunately, I guess my predictions came to be true, as many security officers were involved in armed confrontations. A number of shootings happened over the weekend. In fact, I was going to wait for a few moments, but let me just give it to you real quick. In the past 72 hours, there's been about 63 armed confrontations that we're aware of so far. It resulted in two security officers being shot, one security officer arrested for murder, and we'll touch on that in a moment, and one security officer killed a man as he broke into a home. So very, very lively, active weekend for the private security industry. As we've been telling you for the last week or two, Private Officer International for the next 4 months is in a large campaign of branding, getting our name out there, name recognition. And we're meeting with a number of media, both radio, television, and print. And if you have any contacts in the media business, please send them to me. Send their information to me or send my information to them. I'd love to talk to them about the plight of private security, the number of security officers killed in the line of duty, those who are injured, and the changing roles that we're playing every single day. If you need more information from me, just send me an email at rickm@privateofficer.com. While we're on there, you can also give us a quick email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also submit your news, training events, birthdays, happenings, promotions. Wow, we've even had weddings, anniversaries, and you name it. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be happy to broadcast that announcement free of charge right here on the radio, which is listened to by thousands of people. Also, every program, we tell you that you can contact us 24/7. Very easy. Just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Right there, you can send us an email 24/7. Someone is always, always monitoring our email. We have people on duty 24/7. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you like those social medias. We have a large following now on both of those. In fact, everything that happens with POI, we broadcast on Facebook immediately and Twitter. So if you are not part of that social media scene, you might want to join. That's an excellent way to follow what's going on with Private Officer International. Also, we have our own forums, which really we're very proud of and excited because we have a lot of great people there. We also have a lot of free training. We have networking. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and join today. Before I go any further, just a quick note. If you are a member of our forums, speaking about the forums, you may be getting a ton of emails right now. I understand that the forums, which is a standalone platform, a standalone business that we use, had a delay in their emails over the weekend, and all of a sudden they're being shot out there like cannons, and we've actually received probably 75 of them already ourselves. So just ignore, delete, and don't worry about them. We apologize for the inconvenience. Also, if you'd like to follow our news, which I really highly recommend that you do, even if you don't like the news is beneficial for training, to use for marketing resources, informational purposes. Just go to our website at privateofficer.com, and you can link into our news blog, and it's updated several times a day. If you are a follower on Twitter, well, you're going to get our news anyways because our news blog is connected directly to Twitter. And every time we update, you will get a hit. You'll get a notification. We are looking, as always, for guests and co-hosts. We've got a couple of great shows coming up here over the next few weeks. But if you would like to be a guest, just send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com and give me a little synopsis of what you would like to talk about. You can also be a co-host and join in on one of our programs, either our Monday night show or the LP Zone on Wednesdays. You can also have your own radio program, 30 or 60-minute program, right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information, send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Something that I noticed over the weekend, actually, I guess it started around Thursday or Friday of last week, the media really has been talking up this arrest of a person or the prosecution of a person who was shoplifting at a Target. This happened in Tampa last year, about a year ago, actually. And a retired FBI agent, Russell Horner, 61, was working as a uniformed security officer out in the parking lot of Target. He saw a loss prevention agent fighting with a shoplifter. He went to assist, and shortly thereafter, he died of a heart attack. A short time ago, I guess about a week or two or three, they began the prosecution process of the person who was involved in the shoplifting and charging him with additional charges. Well, guess what? Private Officer International has been talking about this for more than a year. We notified everyone through our email blast, through our radio programs, through our website of this security officer's death. We made note of it on our radio shows. We had a discussion about this almost a year ago. And now, almost a year to the date, now the general media has picked the story up because of the prosecution end of it. And now they're saying that this incident, they're talking like it just happened yesterday, but it's really a year old. Private Officer International is on top of the security industry news. And if you participate, if you receive our news, then you know when something like this happens, you're going to be the first to know. And, you know, it's true. It used to be on local media, they would say, as soon as we know, you'll know. Follow us. We're dependable, accurate. Well, that truly is POI news. And I'm very proud of what we do in the news department. And just like last year, in August, at the Indiana State Fair, security officer Glenn Goodrich was killed when staging fell during a concert and collapsed on him and a number of concert goers in the crowd, and he died. Well, a police chaplain notified our office immediately on site, on scene of the death, and that he was a security officer. We notified the Associated Press. It took them almost 24 hours to put that information out that he was a security officer. They had just really put out that he was an unidentified employee. So we are on top of the news, and I can say that we are dependable, accurate, and all of those other things. Also this week in the news, while we're on the news, Safeway has suspended an employee who came to the aid of a customer, a pregnant woman who was being beat up by her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend in California. According to Safeway, Ryan Young, the employee, was suspended because he violated policy. Hands off. Don't get involved. Don't interfere. Don't do anything like that. Call police and leave it alone. Well, now, a online petition with more than 175,000 signatures are calling for him to be reinstated and that he be honored as a brave person. They're saying that any company would award him and recognize him for his bravery and honor. And guess what? We agree. According to police, the man was punching and assaulting his pregnant girlfriend. She was in distress. More serious injuries could have come if the Safeway employee had not intervened. So thumbs up to you, Ryan Young, And go online. I believe that we need to be involved in this situation, you know, and get him back to work, get him reinstated, because, you know, this is just ridiculous. Winter Haven, Florida, a security officer, William Cornwell, for the second time in 3 years, had to use his weapon at his home. The U.S. Navy veteran and security officer at the Winter Haven Hospital shot and killed 40-year-old Christopher Brian Deese over the weekend. Deese broke into the security officer's home. His wife and children was there. The man had been involved in some heavy drinking. He actually tried to break into the home next door. He made his way over to Security Officer Cornwell's residence and began pounding on the door, screaming. The off-duty security officer told the man to go away. He had the wrong house. He called 911, but before police could even be dispatched, the man broke into the house. The security officer fired, killing the 40-year-old. Police say it was a justifiable homicide. No charges will be pending. In Bridgeport, Connecticut, two men were shot by a security officer who had been involved in a fight. The armed security officer said that the two men were fighting. He tried to break it up. The armed security officer used deadly force. One man is critical. One man is stable. Police are investigating whether or not the security guard should be arrested. Tulsa, Oklahoma, a security officer on duty Saturday had his vehicle carjacked, $15,000 in camera equipment stolen. According to police, the security officer was actually talking on the internet on a video chat with a friend when these armed men came up and robbed him and carjacked him. It is very important to note that no matter how much security officers are paid, what their job specification or duties are, it is on you to be alert. It's on you to be aware of your surroundings, because it is a life and death situation. And I can't get that across enough. I don't care if you paid $6 an hour or $600. We're talking about life and death. So if you want to read books, you want to look at TV, you want to watch videos, you want to video chat, you're taking your life in your own hands. If you can't hear, you can't see, you can't smell, you can't, you know, react in a timely manner when something happens. I'm telling you, folks, you need to listen. Also, this week, a security officer in Tyler, Texas, had his car stolen. Police say that he was outside of his vehicle. His keys was inside. Police say two teenagers hopped in. Again, the security officer was on duty. Police picked up the vehicle, began a chase with the suspects, eventually catching them. Unbelievable. In Brighton, Colorado, a boy dying of brain cancer was sworn in. 12-year-old Jose Rubio Povan always wanted to be a police officer. Brighton police gave him an official certificate, officially swearing him in as a police officer. I thought it was a very touching story. Also, out of Birmingham, a Birmingham security officer who was working at an in-town suite hotel shot and killed an unarmed man and shot a woman during a disturbance. Police say that the suspect, Pierre Miles, 24, had no reason to use deadly force or physical force of any type. And this is one of those situations that's a clear-cut excessive use of force, a clear-cut homicide. And unfortunately for the security officer, he really is in a no-win situation. He definitely is looking at some prison time. Two incidents this past week, one in Hilo, Hawaii, and one in Bellingham, Washington. I'm very proud of these security officers. They were working loss prevention, both two separate stores, two separate states, two separate cities. Unknowingly, both were just doing their jobs when they stopped shoplifters. In the case of the Bellingham, Washington case, that was a Macy's. Lo and behold, the suspect who used a false name was wanted for homicide. And police were able to get the right information on the suspect and charge him with murder. Another situation in Hawaii, security officers picked up two people for shoplifting. They had kidnapped at gunpoint a person earlier in the day and still was holding that victim. They just happened to stop long enough to be involved in the shoplifting. When police arrived, further investigation revealed that they had a victim in the vehicle or at a home, I don't remember which, and police were able to go and release the victim and rescue that person. Again, great work by the loss prevention agents. Great work.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to PovertyUSA.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, part of the Private Officer International Association. Glad that you are with us tonight. We just heard a message about the Wounded Warrior. If you haven't already, you might want to check out their website, thewoundedwarrior.org, I believe it is. We have hundreds and maybe even thousands of wounded soldiers who have fought in the wars, been in Iraq, been in Afghanistan. They're coming back damaged, and they need our help. They need our assistance. They need our support. I've seen many recently without arms, without feet, without legs, some double amputees. There's something we can do. It doesn't have to be financial. You may not have a lot of money, but if you have just a little time, every city and every state, there are projects right now helping the wounded warrior, building ramps so that they can get into their homes, helping them with transportation, helping them with the little things that they can't do right now for themselves. I strongly support this, and I ask that you do too. We're going to be talking in just a few moments about how to articulate a use of force situation. It's very important to understand the do's and the don'ts and how to make those words jump off the page. We have brought back our STARS, the Strategic Training and Recruitment Sites. We are working on a number of locations. If you are interested in helping to sponsor a STARS location, The requirements are simple. You must have some type of office or training facility available in a central location. And what we'll do is we'll hold two or three or four training events a year. We'll do some recruitment. We'll help your business. If you have a security business or a training school, we'll help you in a number of ways as well. And we'll also train you to become a POI instructor, which is very important because you'll be able to train security officers in about 40 other courses that you don't currently offer, even if you are licensed by the state. So if you'd like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We've been telling you also about our trip across America. We are excited about this. September 9th through the 20th, we hope to crisscross the U.S. in a caravan, small one, but nonetheless a caravan. Our vehicles will have signage on it that will recognize the security officers killed in the line of duty over the last 10 years, more than 900. We'll also be recognizing those injured in the line of duty. We'll be holding a number of press conferences as well as having the Private Security Memorial Week ceremonies. If you'd like to get involved, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to donate, simply go to www.privateofficer.com. Only you can make things happen. We can come up with ideas. We can make plans. We can have great desires and want to do great things for you. But if you're not willing to participate, if you are not willing to get involved, to inconvenience yourself even a little bit, then this relationship, it won't work. It won't work. As we've used this adage many times, we can have the best restaurant on the corner. We can have the best food, the best ambiance, the best everything. But without the customers, we have nothing. We have nothing. A company's greatest jewel, greatest resource is their employee. In our relationship, our greatest asset is you, the member, the listener, the associate. I'm asking in this particular situation that you really go all out and get involved. When we begin our project, when we finalize our trip, we'll be making announcements of our locations, our route. We'd like for you to hook up with us and join the caravan as we cross your state line, your city or county. It's important to show solidarity, to be part of this memorial trip across the USA. For more information, go to www.privateofficer.com. More information is there. Or send us a direct email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Very quickly tonight, I do want to get into a couple of the birthdays. Happy birthday goes out to Peter Walls, Stefan Knowles, 45, Mike Davis in Newton, Iowa. Happy birthday, Mike. Big listener, it says. Bill Williams, 35, in Atlanta. Tommy Fry in Newington, Connecticut, 53. Bruce Bowicki, he is in Austin, Texas. Also like to recognize the next four people because they just recently completed their CAPP2, the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2. Mike Slaughter, Maurice Cochran, Monica Brighton, and Dick Tompkins. Great, great job, folks, and we appreciate people who want to learn. It's important. It really is important to learn, and, when you stop learning, when you think you have, you're a know-it-all, you have all the information you need, that's very risky. So congratulations to those fours, and happy birthday to everyone having a birthday this week. I would sing happy birthday to you, but you'd probably shut the radio off. It's not that bad. We want to also mention that we will be doing some training in the upcoming weeks about the Independent Marketing Associates. It's a great opportunity for you to make quite a bit of income. It's a great opportunity for you to get involved and be able to market all of the training and services that we provide businesses and individuals alike. So if you'd like more information on where the training is going to be, we will have online as well as training being done locally. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. If you're not yet a member of POI, I encourage you to. Right now we have a number of discounts, www.privateofficer.com. They will end tonight at midnight. So be sure that you go and sign up today. We have a lot of things to share with you, but we'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to be talking about how to articulate when you're involved in the use of force.
No pigtails anymore.
Check, please.
David, you okay to drive?
Yeah, I only had a couple drinks. I'm fine.
Come on.
Keys can be a weapon.
He said half a hit of E would be fun. They said half a hit of E would be fun. They lied. Find out the truth about drugs. Drugfreeworld.org.
Back live on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us tonight. Before going into our training segment, if you'd like to call us about anything, like to ask questions about our services, about the chapters, about training, membership, or tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods very quickly, our phone number is area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number is 347-426-3807. And we're going to be hanging out here for a few moments if you'd like to call in. And then we're going to head right on over to our training segment tonight and talk for a few moments in part one about how to adequately communicate, how to adequately articulate any time that you have a use of force situation or incident. It's important to be able to know how to structure your report, how to speak to the officer, what to say and what not to say, how to say it. A lot of times when we're involved in situations, we just talk. You know, we spill the beans before we realize, hey, maybe I said too much. Whoa, maybe I shouldn't have said that to the officer. So we're going to talk about that here in a moment. Again, our phone number here is area code 347-426-3807, area code 347-426-3807. If you'd like to call in, do it now. We will be heading over to our training in about 60 seconds or so. So we'll wait here quietly and see if anyone calls in. Well, maybe I'll have a popsicle. We have a number of emails that have come in. Micah said that he is going to be donating to the memorial ride. Thank you very much. Also, Stefan has said thank you for notifying everyone that he is getting old. You are more than welcome because I am much older than you. All right, we are going to head over to our training segment for tonight. Thank you for listening to the program. But we're talking tonight about how to articulate a use of force incident. In our business, we really need to be good. No, scratch that. We really need to be great articulators, communicators. This means having a better-than-average command of the English language and understanding how to use it and how to craft our words concisely, precisely, and in such a manner that they vividly show a picture of our content and subject, so that anyone reading our report, anyone listening to our summation, can quickly picture what happened in their mind. Remember, when you're writing a report, the people who are reading it, they weren't there. They don't know what happened. They didn't see it. They're taking your word for it, but they don't know. They don't even know if it's true. That's why it is so important that when we write reports, whether it be on a use of force or whether it be on an accident, an arrest, or anything, that we are great crafters of our words, that we articulate, communicate, that we draw a vivid picture. Being a writer is usually not a criteria for being a security or law enforcement officer. And in fact, it's not really taught in the academy. They do go over some report writing, but it's not very detailed. I think it's like 2 hours now, maybe. Security training schools definitely don't give you any great detailed, communications, English 101, or how to write a great report. They may have some minimal stuff, and it's not required in criminal justice programs other than, they have some English 101 and maybe some communication or some report writing, but it's not very strong. The most that you really get in these courses is how to pen the who, the what, the where, the when, and how. It's the five areas of every report that everybody teaches. But let me tell you something. When you're trying to explain something as serious as the use of force, when you're trying to make sure you cover your butt so that you don't get arrested, don't get sued, aren't in trouble, don't lose your job, you got to cover a lot more than the who, what, where, when, and how. You have to. Because most people, especially when they're looking to pin a charge on somebody, when they're looking to sue somebody, they don't care about that little, half a page report. It's not going to prevent them from arresting or suing you. You will go from being the victim or the witness to becoming the offender, the defendant. It is vitally important in this day and age where private security no longer just observes and reports, but they become actively involved in investigating, detaining, apprehending, challenging, stopping suspects. It's important that you understand how to structure and articulate any kind of report that you're writing, especially a use of force report. It is more important than you could ever imagine that you be a master crafter of words, a master articulator, communicator. If I were to look at a report that you have written over the last, let's say 6 months or a year, I will guarantee that in many of those reports, A, I could barely read your writing, B, there'd be a lot of typographical and spelling errors, and C, it would be vague at best. I probably wouldn't really know what happened. I probably wouldn't really have all the questions answered. It's very important that you can command the language, that you know how to structure a paragraph, a sentence, a phrase, that you use the right words in the right places. More than 50 times a year, a private security officer is arrested, that's about 4.5 times a month, for manslaughter, murder, aggravated assault. More than 50 security officers a year are arrested, put in jail, for trying to do the right thing, trying to do their job, trying to protect themselves and others. But they become the defendant. They become the suspect and wind up being charged with everything from assault to aggravated assault to manslaughter, attempted murder, and murder. We just had a security officer this weekend arrested for murder. We had another security officer arrested for aggravated assault Saturday night. At least 4.5 times a month, and sometimes more often, a private security officer finds themselves on the wrong side of the law. Sometimes it's because they really did use an unjustifiable amount of force, as was the case in Birmingham, Alabama, over the weekend. The security guard, a uniformed security guard on duty at a hotel, was involved in a confrontation with some people. They had some words, and eventually, instead of walking away, instead of calling the police, he took matters into his own hands and used his firearm on unarmed people. I don't even know if they were suspects. On unarmed patrons of the hotel, and is in jail facing murder and attempted murder, probably life. Alabama does have the death penalty. He could even face the death penalty. He could even lose his life because he wrongly used force. And that's a training issue. And there are times when it is black and white, when there is no room to say, well, he could have been in imminent danger. He could have thought that he was. No. There are times when the security officers just use too much force. But then there's other times when security officers are arrested and sued for excessive force, and the problem wasn't that they used unreasonable force. It was just that they could not articulate, they could not communicate their situation clear enough for either the police officer investigating or the district attorney or the grand jury to decide whether or not he was justified. So charges are brought against the security officer. We often say that police officers are involved in similar situations as security officers as far as use of force. You'll find that there may be, a situation where a security officer shoots somebody in a vehicle trying to run them over and is arrested. A police officer involved in the same situation is not arrested. And one of the reasons is because the police officer is more able to clearly articulate the facts. What happened? What led up to the use of force? Why he felt that level of force was necessary? Why he felt his life was in imminent danger? Why there was no options, no way out for him? A security officer oftentimes cannot articulate or communicate those facts. He might put down in the report, well, I told John to leave the property, and then next thing I know, he was in the car, and I saw him coming toward me, and, I just pulled out my gun and started popping off some rounds. That's not good enough when it comes to use of force. That's not good enough to portray an adequate picture of imminent danger. Because what you didn't specify, what you didn't say, what you did leave out was you had no recourse, no way to jump out of the way. The vehicle was within a matter of feet from you. You were in imminent danger. You had no opportunity to use any other force. Pepper spray would not work. A nightstick would not work. A vehicle was coming straight for you at a high rate of speed, 50 miles an hour in the parking lot. There was no way that you could jump to the left. There was a vehicle to your right. Therefore, you had no other alternative but to use your firearm. That would clearly and vividly draw a picture to the facts. And 9 times out of 10, it would change the outcome of whether or not you're prosecuted, whether or not you become the suspect, the defendant. In part two, we're going to go over how to write an adequate, vivid, articulative report. But we see time and time again that security officers are unprepared on every level. They don't have the use of force training. Even if they go to a recognized and licensed security school, they don't get the training that police do, obviously. And very, very few will take it upon themselves to train any further. And that is a problem. Because what you are forgetting or don't know or aren't realizing is that everything you do, you're doing as a civilian. Some actions of law enforcement are covered under the code of law. Sometimes they can get away with things. Sometimes they're justified in doing things that a private security officer would otherwise be arrested for. The courts, the prosecution, the grand jury, they give them leverage that they don't usually give private security. Unless you can articulate in the same manner as that law enforcement, unless you can explain yourself in such a manner that they clearly get it, they clearly understand what happened, how it happened, how you felt, how you were in danger, imminent danger. It is important for you immediately begin some research. Do some research on how to write, how to structure simple sentences. You see, like anything else, you have to have a foundation. You can't articulate and write this big, crafty report using all the right words in the right places if you don't know how to write a general sentence. Regardless of your education level, if you are not a good letter writer and you hate writing, this is a problem. This is a huge problem. Learn immediately some foundations to writing, how to structure simple sentences and paragraphs, how to use words. They don't have to be big words. We're not talking about, you know, somebody who's going to write a big, huge novel that is going to really floor people in the scientific world, floor people in the philosophy world. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about being able to structure, put together, layer simple sentences and paragraphs to explain your position. Well, I was standing at the door. No, the driveway. Scratch that. Driveway. I saw car coming to me fast. The car came fast. I pulled gun, shot driver. Now you laugh, and you might think it's funny. But the truth is, that is the report of many security officers and even law enforcement. You know, the short and sweet, got to get it done fast. That'll do. That will hang you. That will convict you. That will get you arrested, prosecuted, and thrown in jail. You need to really take a journalism course. You need to really take some fundamental writing courses online immediately if you're going to stay in the private security industry and carry a weapon. But this is not exclusively to armed security. This is to anyone who may use any level of force or be involved in a situation. I mean, just last month, two security officers in Illinois arrested at the Illinois hospital for murder. They were unarmed. They didn't use guns, but they restrained a person in a hospital by using a chokehold. The man died, suffocated, because he was put on his stomach, punched, abused, according to the report, pinned to the ground, and stopped breathing. Was this unreasonable force? Was this manslaughter? Was it murder? Was it intentional? There's two elements to every crime that you must have. Must have. You must have willful intent. Did they intend to commit the crime? You must have probable cause. Depending on how you speak after a situation or an incident is going to depend on whether or not you get locked up right there on the scene. Because if I'm a police officer investigating a situation, and the security officer comes up to me and he says, well, you know, man was coming over here quite fast, and I shot him because, you know, I felt I was going to get hit. You felt you were going to get hit. I felt I was going to get hit. I felt he's going to come real fast. Well, get out of the way. Don't stand there. That information, that two-way communication is enough to get you locked up. I pepper sprayed. I tased that man. I beat him with my fist because he called me some names and then he got in my face. I've seen reports recently like that. He got in my face and he was in my space, and so I defended myself. Guess what? You don't have a right to defend yourself. Yeah, but he was up in my face, and I felt it was a threat. The law doesn't see it that way. Step back. Take two steps back. Take four steps back. Keep them at arm's length. You see, one of the big problems we have in the security industry is really a lack of training, a lack of understanding, a lack of people knowing what it is that you can and cannot do. Everybody in this world has an excuse. We're living in a, it's not my fault. Don't blame me. Well, I got news for you. We're living in a world today that is demanding that people start taking responsibility for their actions. We have to have an understanding of what we can and cannot do. We need the training. And if you are in a position where you are out there challenging, questioning, investigating, apprehending with minimal training, and you're saying, oh, well, that's good enough. If my employer says that's good enough, the state says that's good enough, all they want is a warm body, then God help you, because you're going to be one of these people in the statistics that we cover every day. Only the strong survive. Only the people with the training, the knowledge, and the attitude that I want to do my job the right way are going to come through this most of the time unscathed, without being prosecuted, without being in situations of facing lawsuits or arrest. Part two next week, we'll be talking about how to craft it, how to structure a report, how to articulate a use of force incident the proper way. But this week, I do want to encourage you to go and try to research on your own some foundational information on how to write a paragraph, a report. Get that information, because that's the foundation. Tomorrow on the LP Zone, we'll be talking about kiting. That is the criminal act of floating checks from bank to bank. If you're in loss prevention, mall security, you won't want to miss it. Until then, we will see you back on the radio. Be blessed, be safe, and we will see you back here tomorrow, Wednesday, 3 p.m.